never really want to tell anybody you're from New Mexico. It's just unenchanting, to say the least. I mean, they do test nuclear weapons in that state for a reason. So, I usually claim Texas. I grew up in Texas for the first part of my life. Then we moved to New Mexico, went to high school. And then I returned home as soon as I could throughout college. I went to Texas Tech and graduated. There you go. And so hopefully I'm here now. I've been here since 05. And I'm still finishing up online. And like you said, me and my wife are very expectant. One thing that we want to do is just see how gracious you guys have been to us since we started coming here. We truly felt love. We do appreciate it. So if you have your Bibles, you would turn with me to Mark 1. We're going to read chapter 1 through 13. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels ministering to him. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being amazing. We thank you for being great. Most importantly tonight, we thank you for being of your word, that you promised that this event would happen when Adam and Eve fell. You saw to it to send your Son, that it would happen. The greatest moment in all time, and we thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son. In your name we pray, amen. A bit of a practical note, just tell you a little bit about me and my wife, Alyssa, and one of the struggles that I went with shortly. Every once in a while, it comes upon us to where we can actually have a date night. And this kind of disappeared after the scene of my son. And so anytime that we get one, it's extra special. And so I'm truly happy if you just go to Taco Bell and you get me a burrito and a Coke. I'll be good. But my wife, she requires a little bit more. So we headed out to Bonefish that night. And I'm doing all the right things because, like I said, I'm easily pleased, but it's all about her. So telling her how pretty she looks. I'm driving fairly moderately fast to Bonefish to get our reservation in time. And I'm doing all the right things. We dropped our kid off with her mom, and everything's taken care of. And one of the things that bothers me, I would say almost instantly, people who cannot drive. It just sends that little sharp, that little feeling down my neck, and it immediately goes, "Will, you're a sinner again, remember?" And I say, "Yes, I do." So I was watching my cool all the way there, and we get to the parking lot. And somebody's backing out. This is a good spot. I'm going to grab this spot. And so they're kind of taking a long time, starting to get a little impatient. My wife is starting to grumble. "What's wrong with this?" And they came back their car out. "He's going to go. Please be calm. Like, it's all right. It's all right. No problem." And I did nothing. I was good. And I watched them back out slowly. And as they pass the car, I'm still just kind of watching them with this look on my face. Why are they driving this slow? Like, I just want to get into that spot. And as they passed, the young man leaned across his date for the night and decided to express to me in sign language what he thought of us. And for no reason. I wasn't flashing my light, talking a horn, or anything. Well, immediately, me being a man of action and a sinner, I unbuckled my seatbelt and popped the lock on the door and was ready to go to town with this guy. I'm serious. I was going to get out of the car, call him back, and correct his language. And then I felt my wife's hand on my thigh and said, "Sweetie, You're not acting like a Christian. You need to calm down. And that's when it hit me. And that's the feeling that we all feel almost all the time when the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. And it tells us what path we're going to take. More specifically, in Mark, and we're going to get to that in just 1 second. First, I want to point out what Jesus Christ came to do. And just the time and the event that took place. And Jesus Christ came in a time that was highly anticipated. That he came to this earth at a dire moment. And he fulfilled the promise of God that we would one day be saved. And he decided to go out into the desert, like the book of Isaiah told us he would be, to be baptized by John. For a simple reason. To receive the Spirit. What we have that they did not have. And so what we see here in verse 12, the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. So what does this mean for us? What does this say about the role of the Spirit for our lives? That the first thing that the Spirit did with Jesus Christ was what? Sent him out to be tempted. The Spirit of God came for war. It came for times like the times in Bonefish. And as funny as that story is, and as great as it was for my wife to stop me, there have been many more times in my life where I've needed the Spirit for more dire circumstances. And it lived that with Christ, first and foremost. Immediately, it drove him into the desert. Immediately, it said, we will be tested. Immediately, we will make the way for Christians to follow throughout all time. So, Jesus is out in the wilderness, and Satan is there. Satan is not everywhere, but evil is everywhere in our lives. And he knew. This was the start of Jesus' ministry. There was one single time where he could get the attention of the people to look at Jesus and see him mess up. This would be that time. And so Jesus, armored with the Spirit of God and ministering angels, went out to face this. He went out to lead the example that we are supposed to live. And more importantly, he continued to have a sinless life so he could take that to the cross. So he could use that on the cross. So that he could save us by the cross. And he didn't have to. Not one moment out there was one moment that he had to do. It was by the glory of God, and he was so gracious that he wanted to. And this is what happened. Another point that I wanted to make with you tonight, and something that I need to remember in my life as well, is sometimes I think that I'm going through some kind of trial or some temptation that I have to face alone for some reason. That I don't need the help of others. And I think this is where I mainly mess up. If my wife hadn't have been in the car that day, I don't know what I would have done. And I tell you this, other times in my life, if I hadn't immediately returned to the Lord in prayer and had the Spirit's help, I would have made the wrong decision. So what does that mean for our lives today? For right now, how will we let the Spirit move? Hopefully, we'll let it move as it moved in Christ. You see, he wasn't alone. So we don't have to be alone in our decisions. It says that he had angels that ministered to him. It says the Spirit was there. And this point is one that I highly love and I hold dear. The same Spirit that was with him in the face of Satan. The exact same Spirit that I have today. And the exact same Spirit that you have today. And it is powerful. It was with him through pain, through loneliness. And it helped him make the right decision when Satan came at him, as it will help you. Now I'm young and foolish. I really am. And hopefully years will lead to more sanctification for me. But I know that is impossible if I do it by myself. I know that is impossible the next time that I am faced with a decision. If I don't surround myself with people that are following Christ, my wife and her godliness, if I don't immediately pray, I'm going to fall to sin. Another very comforting thing about this is that Jesus Christ did live a sinless life in place of us. So at any time, and I may think that I'm alone in the dark or there's something more that I have to do when I do fall, that I have to make up for it in God's eyes somehow, I can remember this. And I can remember that he died in my place, that he used a sinful life or sinless life so that I would be saved, that God would no longer look at me and say, that will, you have to watch him in traffic. He can look at me now and say, I see my son. I see Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful gift. And not only that, but he sends me a very powerful weapon, the same one that we use by our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit. More than anything with my life, I don't want to ignore that. I don't want to shut that out. If there's anything that I want to communicate today, is that we are not alone. There's no need for you to make decisions apart from the body of Christ, apart from the Spirit of God in prayer. The Bible says that his mercies are made new each and every morning. And as I get older, I start to realize why. Each and every day that I wake up, I realize how great he is and how worthless I am. That he would even bother to send a part of him to be inside of me. That he sealed me inside of Christ. That he would pull me up from the mud into the city of light one day. So the next time that we're in a situation where we might fall, the next time when we're in a place where we think that it couldn't get any worse than this, just remember, he came for the big picture. He came that you would have life eternally. This path to the earth is just a process, just sanctification. It is a worship to God. All of it is leading up to the day that we finally get to sit there across from him at the banquet table and just celebrate a single act in history when he decided, I'm coming to save mankind. I'm coming to give them a piece of me. When they didn't deserve it. And he would have been rightful when we fell to throw us all away. He didn't. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, again, how amazing and how great you are. How wonderful it is that you decided to save us. How wonderful it is in the way that you chose to save us is to send your son. That we would have to do nothing else to get to heaven, but just believe in him. That our actions wouldn't have to make up for all the terrible things that we've done. That we could just say, Jesus Christ did it first. And he died for me. Father, look at him. Thank you for that. Father, I thank you for the Spirit. I thank you that you sent it into my life. I thank you that it was the same Spirit as with Jesus Christ. And I pray that I use it. I pray that I'm reminded of it daily. I love you.